Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. Now, we'll have, in about 20-some-odd minutes, we'll be talking with Adonis Lindsay, he's part of my empowerment and leadership team to discuss the benefits of keeping a positive attitude. That's an inside joke. but first, I want to check in with Michael Arnfield. He is author of a book. It's actually about Nashville. It's called Monster City. And in the book, if you're new to the city, you're like, all I hear about is Music City. I never hear about Nashville being referred to as anything other than that. And what he does in this book that came out a couple of months ago is he goes back into some history in terms of the growing city, and there were some cases here that unsolved sex slayings in Nashville that one of our city's detectives did a superb job in helping to bring so many of these, along with the rest of the folks that worked with him, to bring some of these people into the system and make it a little safer on our streets. So that's what we have for the next few minutes, and then after that I'll be talking to Adonis. Michael Arnfield, the book today is Monster City. There's a new book out entitled Monster City. You know, we're known for Music City and blah, blah, blah. I was attracted to doing this interview because it's Monster City. What? Nashville? And I'm happy to have the author with me on the show today. Murder, Music, and Mayhem in Nashville's Dark Age. And I must welcome to the show Michael Arnfield. Now, Michael, you were a former police officer, and let me say that I have been here 32 years. I know a lot of these cases that you're writing about in this book, and I have been on the air, and I've covered some of these. So, really, that was the reason why I wanted to have you on, because I specifically remember these stories, and I did interview many times Pat Postiglione. I mean, I was like, oh, this is deja vu stuff here. Anyway, I hope that you're doing well today.
I am, and thank you for having me on, sure.
Absolutely. Now, you spent more than 15 years as a police officer and detective in Canada before going on to become a globally noted homicide scholar and criminologist. And you did spend some time as a visiting professor at Vanderbilt. How long ago was this, Michael?
That was 2016, and that's where I ended up meeting Pat Postiglione in a chance meeting, sort of brokered through a mutual friend, and that's where he started telling me about these cases, and I knew at that very moment that they needed to be consolidated and told as a story.
Oh, wow. So in 2016 was when the idea came to you, and your book was just recently released, so you had to do some research and homework. Was he the number one source for you in writing Monster City?
Yeah, he was the primary source, and that's rare you get that opportunity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've written a few true crime books, and in most cases, the human source is deceased or in a state that they can't really participate, mm-hmm. and you have to rely on documents. In this case, I had both, and so there's an added dimension of detail and an added dimension of humanity to this book that I think any true crime reader or fan will immediately notice.
Right. Now, Michael, for those that weren't here or have forgotten or whatever, the title Monster City, subtitle Murder, Music, and Mayhem in Nashville's Dark Age. Could you give us a summary of what exactly was going on in the city during that time?
Well, the book starts off in winter of 1975, and you have immediately two murders, Sarah DePrez and Marcia Trimble, that occur immediately near Vanderbilt, which at the time was thought to be sort of the Vandyland dome, the safe bubble. The city was much different back then. I mean, all the tourist traps today, Printer's Alley, Lower Broadway, they didn't look like they do today, and they weren't necessarily places that you'd be even wandering around. So that is where we start off. And then as the city sort of goes through this renaissance after that very dark period in the late 70s, we see six serial killers who basically infiltrate the city through, in some fashion, the music scene, either pretending to be agents, pretending to be producers, mm-hmm. pretending to be up-and-coming stars, or just targeting fans by staying in hotels. And it's all these things sort of come to the fore at once, and amidst all this, Pat Postiglione comes from New York City to Nashville on vacation and never leaves, and 25 years later mm-hmm. holds the record for catching more serial killers than any single detective still living in America.
Really? I did not know that. So all those years ago in the 80s when I was interviewing him, he was a legend. I did not know that. Oh, wow.
Oh, he's a legend.
Oh, wow. Because he was on the news every night, and in every story, you know, he was leading the way. And also, you know, since you just described this, I lived here, and it was not, you know, the connection was not made like you have made in this book to the music, country music in particular, I'm sure. It has not been made, and I find this interesting. And why has not the city or the mainstream media put attention on that?
Well, that's the first thing I noticed in talking to Pat. I mean, you mentioned he's been a local fixture on the news for years, but these cases and his work were not well known outside of Nashville, even elsewhere in Tennessee. I can tell you that for sure. I mean, by the time I met him, I'd been teaching American crime history for years, and I had a pretty encyclopedic knowledge of major murder cases. And I had, other than maybe Paul Dennis Reed, I had not heard of any of these. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why it never made it to any of the East Coast outlets, or even the West Coast, or certainly as far north as Canada. So it's, I think, something no one's mm-hmm. really put the dots together till mm-hmm. now. I mean, there's a couple of obvious ones.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Steeples targeted either country music bar owners or up-and-coming country acts.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of well-known at the time. And, I mean, Chuck Dixon, who was a chart fixer for Cashbox magazine, I mean, he had one of his administrators assassinated right on Music Row. So mm-hmm. a couple of them had direct connections, but no one, I think, saw the big picture in the mm-hmm. fact that, sort of like a lot of the killers that ended up in California in the 60s and 70s following either the hippie movement or Hollywood films,
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, this city, as it becomes a draw, is also going to draw in, unfortunately, people you don't want there.
The fast food murders was the one that absolutely terrified a section, because there's, you know, right behind the restaurant is, you know, subdivisions and beautiful homes, etc. Tell us about the time frame and what Detective Postiglione was able to piece together.
So that is probably the most disturbing case in the book. I mean, Pat even said he was haunted by nightmares of Paul Dennis Reed escaping for years after he caught him. And what happened there is, I mean, I'm satisfied, Pat's satisfied, it's in the book, that Paul Dennis Reed had murdered four people in Texas before even arriving in Nashville in 96, actually late 95.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a bunch of headshots done. He thought he was going to be a country star.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't play an instrument, couldn't sing. And this was really just all a pretext to move there. And what he immediately does is he begins ambushing fast food restaurants and massacring the entire staff, whoever's there. There was a Shoney's, there was a Baskin Robbins in town. There was a bunch of different restaurants, McDonald's, and it was so bad. I mean, you I think summed it up, and I don't think people were aware of this. There was undercover Metro cops at nearly every restaurant for weeks because they did not know who they were dealing with or when he was going to resurface or where. And that's the fear. I mean, kids were going to work at a restaurant not knowing if they were going to be next.
Absolutely. And parents were terrified to have their children even working the drive-through or working inside of a fast food restaurant. Those were the days when it was a fear that gripped the city. I don't think we've ever had anything quite like that since. And I hope to God we never do again. But I will say that it was that detective's dogged work that helped so much for us to get some rest and peace in the city. Michael, in the book, do you talk about the killers, the serial killers, and I'm still fascinated by the connection to, let me just say, to the music side, in particular, the wanting to be phony and fake in the music career. Were these people at all musically inclined, or they just said, yeah, I can use this as a prop?
Good question. There's no evidence any of them had any, other than Chuck Dixon was a swindler that worked for a music industry magazine. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it was just a prop, like you said. It was a ruse. It was a cover, or it was just something that they used to find vulnerable people. I mean, Michael Scott Magliolo, the motel killer, lived in Jasper, Texas, but he would come up. He would hitchhike a ride to the Nashville area just to find women at country music bars or staying in hotels for country music events and murder them. And then he would go back home and go about his work. And that was just, it was good luck and good detective work that caught him. But, he would have kept coming back for years if that were not the case. And no one had any idea where this guy was coming from. And that is really amazing how that was pieced together.
Now, in chapter 24, you talk about the exotic tan murders. I mean, this, I'm thinking back on some of these things. I'm like, my God. Give us a quick thumbnail about chapter 24.
So the tanning bed murders or the exotic tan murders, this business is no longer around. In fact, the owner died in a freak accident shortly after these murders. Two girls working there as massage attendants, and it was a tanning parlor as well, murdered in the workplace and horrifically. I mean, it was very difficult researching and writing in that chapter. And it appeared at the time to have connections to a remarkably similar murder of two massage attendants in Kentucky. And that's where the investigation begins, is are these two things connected? Are they not? And then all of a sudden there's some connections made to a series of attacks out in California. And this is one of several chapters that I think points out that as Nashville became this prominent tourist destination and the headquarters for Music City America, these cases were not limited to Nashville. There were people in all other states that were affected, either as victims, either as being affiliated with suspects, either as the police in those states being involved, the cases being connected. So you really see this spider web of cases beginning probably at that point that begins to connect to cases all over America.
And you have, I'm going to go backwards, my bad. Chapter 19, you talk about General Hospital. What is this about?
This is, again, we're back to Tom Steeples now, who is, by this point, a suspect in three murders.
Okay.
He's a very successful, and your listeners may not remember this case. He operated Computer Forms and Supplies, which was a very successful sort of pre-dot-com, actually in the middle of the dot-com boom store in Nashville, lived in Mount Juliet, and he ended up actually being arrested for cocaine possession, and he got brought to General Hospital to get blood drawn on with a warrant because there was DNA left at one of his crimes. And I won't spoil how that one ends, but he had another trick up his sleeve after he got arrested for those murders, and it was the blood being drawn at the General Hospital in Nashville that brought that case to fruition.
Okay, remind the audience, that's chapter 19. Before we go, since I live in Nashville, and I think you don't, have you heard from people here in the city, and what has been their response to your new book, Monster City?
Not a lot of response other than, obviously, through Pat and some of his colleagues who, you know, I took great pains to make sure were accurately and fairly depicted and really sort of glamorized and sentimentalized in the book, as they should be, because, and I've said this before, Nashville is, I think, one of the greatest cities in America. I would live there again in a second, and it is that way and is a great city and is a safe city. Everyone goes for their parties and retires to, in part because of Pat and a handful of other detectives who caught these guys.
Right.
And if they had not been caught, as we see in so many other cases, you have to wonder how that would have shaped the city.
Yes.
I mean, if a guy like Paul Dennis Reed had not been caught, what would Nashville look like today? And I think that's something people need to ponder when they read this.
Absolutely. And what about the victims of these heinous crimes? Have you heard from anybody in the families?
Not yet. In my other books, the family members resurface, and I'm happy to talk to them and answer their questions. And I say this all the time. I write these books for the victims' families.
Yeah.
And I remind cops of this, and Pat knows this as well as anybody. You might collect, as a cop, your paycheck from the city or the county or the state, but you are working for the victims' families, and I think that's what everyone needs to remember.
No question about it. Definitely, if you live in Nashville, it's, you know, some people may or may not have a stomach for it, but it is indeed interesting how you connected some dots here. Michael Arnfield is my guest. His latest book, Monster City, Murder, Music, and Mayhem in Nashville's Dark Age. And how much of the book is absolutely true, and how much, Michael, before I let you go, was imaginative?
I would say it's 99%. I write, I was a cop. I write from an investigator's perspective. I take next to no creative license or dramatization. I mean, there are very minor, maybe, if a guy was not wearing glasses at the time, a conclusion that could be jumped to that's completely harmless like that. But as far as the case details, it is 1,000% accurate.
Wow. In case you wondered. Michael, tell the audience where your other books and information on you is available.
Pretty much you can find anything at michaelarnfield.com, including I've got another book out next month, and you can message me through that site, and from there see what else I'm up to, including my TV projects.
Excellent.
So hopefully I'll hear from some of your listeners.
Well, hopefully you will. Michael, thank you so much. This has been absolutely fascinating.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Michael. I forgot he had been a professor at Vanderbilt. But anyway, I appreciate that opportunity to hear about his book, Monster City. That was, you remember some of those cases, I know, because they were headlines. They were in the news every night. So anyway, that we're going to shift a gear and come back on the other side and have a discussion about keeping a positive attitude. It can be hard sometimes, y'all. Everybody knows that. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Dependable and knowledgeable agent seeks customers looking for protection and long-term relationships. Look no further than Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Having one special person for your car, home, and life insurance lets you get down to business with the rest of your life. You can stop by the offices of Terry W. Jones at 545 Main Stream Drive, Suite 104 in Metro Center, or call 615-256-6066 or by email at myagent@terrywjones.net.
In Greek mythology, Artemis is a goddess of the hunt. And on the next Jazz Night in America, we'll hear from Artemis the Band. Beanie Rosmus, Ingrid Jensen, Anat Cohen, Noriko Ueda, Allison Miller, Melissa Aldana, and Cecile McLaurin-Savant. That's next time on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems from tooth decay to oral cancer are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house, my Tiga lad, to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. And just a quick note following the book and the discussion that I just had a few minutes ago. Tomorrow, Thursday, December 6th, is the 16th annual Tennessee Season to Remember. That is the state's annual holiday event for friends and families and relatives of homicide victims. It takes place tomorrow, December the 6th, and it will be held at 5:30 at First Baptist Church on 7th Avenue and Broadway. And the parking, of course, is free. The singer, special guest, music will be provided by 12-time Grammy honoree Cece Winans and Karen Bobo. The mother of West Tennessee murder victim Holly Bobo is slated to be the keynote speaker. And crime victims will be available to support their family and friends and, you know, give love to one another. And our state organization sponsored this Tennessee Season to Remember every year. And if you plan to attend, it is free and open to the public beginning at 5:30, First Baptist Church, 7th Avenue at Broadway. And this time of year, it is it can be difficult on people who've lost loved ones, who've had tragic events happen in their lives, who get stressed out because they don't have enough money, they can't buy such and such, this, that. They're tired, they're snappy, and they just want perfection. and they get an attitude and bust off an attitude on you in a heartbeat, and you'd be like, what? And, you know, that was kind of what I was feeling when I found out I wasn't going to have you just at 5 o'clock. I'm like, I'm about to bust off an attitude. And we are supposed to talk about having a positive attitude. I'm like, no, I'm not. I can't do that.
Well, yeah. Oh, my God. It's a great illustrative message.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, well, Lord, you are something else. Because the subject matter was killing me when I was like, what? Because I had a 35-second moment of, I cannot believe this. I mean, because, you know, we love you. And we want all of your time. And 30 minutes was not going to be sufficient. You know, we're selfish. And so I had a momentary lapse. And I said,
but you know what?
Huh?
When I got your voicemail, I'm like, that's only Sharon Kay. Let me respond. And I was like, who is this? I'm like, oh, nope, that's Sharon Kay.
Well, you know, when I said, I was like, how you expect me to remain positive? this is the day we're supposed to be talking about being positive, and you're telling me you're going to be late. I'm like, Lord.
Yeah. But we got it all worked out. We got it all worked out for 2019.
Well, you know, you talk about throwing a host against the wall and then knocking them down. But it wouldn't have been so ironic if we would have been talking about any subject else except keeping a positive attitude.
Exactly.
So knowing that that's the case, I'm very happy to hear your voice and check in again with you for our quarterly get together. And many of you who listen to the show recall hearing from Adonis. He is an empowerment and leadership speaker and author, as well as a member of the community of faith and a supporter of this 401 show. He's part of my empowerment and leadership team, and we're always happy to have him with us, either in studio or over the magic of radio. You know, that's what we call it, you know, to the lay people, the phone. But we call it the magic, baby. But anyway, Adonis, I hope that everyone's well, family's good, everybody good.
Yes, we are. Heather's great. The kids are, you know, thinking they're grown, running the house, but we have to put them in check every now and then.
Well.
But they are excited because it's December.
Yeah.
And it's Christmas time.
Definitely. Now, this time of the year conjures up different things and emotions and feelings with different people based on whatever the situation is. And I want to spend some time with you on that subject matter, because it can be, you know, not just stressful, but, you know, you have emotion, you know, seeing family or losing family. The last time that, you know, the last Christmases, or if you've never had a happy or merry Christmas or whatever, there's a lot that folks experience. And I imagine you get a lot of calls or people wanting, you know, your counseling or whatever the case may be during this time of the year, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Sharon Kay, it's one of those, and I think you said it best, you know, as we approach the Christmas season, you know, which is supposed to be a joyous occasion, or everybody's happy, but some people identify this month with, like you said, certain things that have happened.
Yes.
And they're, you know, over a year ago this time, and so now they're reflecting upon it. Maybe they've lost a loved one,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or maybe it's the whole, depending on someone's situation, it's like a lot of people, you know, if we fall into the over commercialization of Christmas,
yeah,
and then it's the pressure of, oh, I got to go out and buy all this stuff,
yeah,
and some people find themselves just stressed out, and I think that's just the wrong attitude to be in, especially if you're stressed out because, you know, you're thinking you got to buy all this stuff, respond to all these ads, and buy.
Yes,
and we miss out on the meaning of Christmas. And then on the other hand, some that go through that season of loss. and they're reflecting on a lost loved one, you know, it is our prayers go out with them to try to comfort them. You know, I get a lot of people that, you know what, this is my, it's a reminder that I lost my dad or I lost my mom. You know, I just talked to a family member earlier today, Sharon Kay, that her mom passed away. And this lady was a faithful member of the church that I used to be a part of, served there faithfully. And you could just hear the pain in her heart of losing her mom, who was, I believe she was 77 years old.
Wow.
But you could still hear the pain in her heart of losing a loved one. And so you can only imagine every December she's going to reflect on that.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Well, and I will say, I remember my father fell ill in 1988. Right before Christmas, we were driving from Nashville to Kansas City to go home, and got the news that he had a stroke, and going out to get the newspaper, collapsed at the front door.
Wow.
And I never got to talk to him again, and he went into a coma for about 3 months. He died in February of 1989. So, yes, it does pull up that kind of thing in the memory banks and the emotion. And I will say it's been 29 years, and I still have that ride going from that 600 miles from here to there. You know, I still remember, you know, stuff is ingrained. Those experiences are just so ingrained in you. And it comes out in attitude form and anger sometimes with people. Haven't you seen that?
Yeah. And, you know, with that, you know, we try to tell people, you know, depending on what they've gone through, Sharon Kay, is, you know, number one, it's like whatever it is that happened and you're reliving that, you know, if it's a loss of a loved one, you know, we try to get people to focus on the good moments you had with that loved one. You know, you can go back and reflect on that, because here's a positive memory can produce positive thoughts. Now, a negative memory will produce negative thoughts. And so we say, try to go back and find those positive things that brought you joy, brought you happiness, that you can remember about that person, you know?
Definitely.
And those are the things you got to focus on things that are good.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help you get through that season, you know? That doesn't mean that you're going to go through that, you know, that moment pain-free, but it may mean it's going to help you cope with it a little bit better.
Yeah, and the knowing that you're not alone. When I say that, there's people all over the world who have experienced something, you know, during a particular season or time. And, you know, because sometimes, you know, I've noticed that people have a tendency to think that, you know, the Lord's punishing them or nobody cares.
Yeah, they're the only ones that are going through that.
Yeah, definitely.
In those moments, we tell people, you know, when you close yourself off, that's one of the worst things that you can do.
Mm-hmm,
because you get alone with yourself, and then you get alone with your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got nobody there that can help keep you anchored to some truth or just some encouragement.
Yeah.
And so we don't, you know, tell people, you know what, if you're angry, if you're mad, if you're depressed, don't close yourself off. Get out and get around people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, be careful who you get around. You want to get around some people who know you, who understand what you've gone through.
Yes.
People who can, mourn when you mourn.
Yeah.
That's key right there, Sharon Kay. You know, one thing that irritates me is, like, if you go to somebody, if you're dealing with something, and they're just like, man, you need to get over that.
Yes.
Well, it's like you're not even sensitive to what that person is going through or have gone through.
That's true.
And so you need to get around some compassionate people who are strong enough to not let you spiral down into a pity party.
Right.
But they can walk with you to comfort you and to have enough compassion to understand what you're going through. But yet they can still point you to a positive thought and positive direction for your life.
Well, those positive thoughts, they really just, you know, they blossom, they grow. It's like, in a way, it's kind of like putting a seed in the ground, isn't it? You put some water on it. Next thing you know, boom, you've got something pushing through the dirt.
Exactly, exactly. And I think it keeps you anchored. It keeps it keeps hope alive. Mm-hmm. It keeps hope for a better day. It keeps hope for I'm going to get through this this temporary feeling and this emotion and this moment, but I've got to keep something in front of me.
Yeah.
And those are the positive things. And you got to speak them. You know, even when you don't feel good, you still have to believe in it and speak that, Sharon Kay. It's what we, you know, try to communicate to people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you're faking your way through it. No, you're what you know, you said it best. You're planting those seeds of you know what, this too shall pass.
Yes.
Yes, I still, you know, especially if someone's lost a loved one, you know, it's okay to hurt. You're going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But this moment's going to pass. You know, let's keep your mind fixed and focused on those good memories that you shared with that person.
Absolutely. Now, what about situations, Adonis, where, you know, the loss is like your job, or, you know, something of that nature? I wanted to, because it's hard to be positive when you don't have no money, Lord.
Yes.
It's so hard to be positive. Sharon Kay, don't you preach on this radio. When you're broke, you feel like a joke, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We're broke. I mean, when you feel like that, you know, for me, sometimes I just have to start singing on the radio. I mean, you know, so I want to talk about turning some of that around, because there's going to be some people crying because they can't buy baby some brand new shoes for Christmas, but baby can wear the shoes she got till times get better, y'all. Anyway, we are happy to have Empowerment and Leadership team member Adonis Lindsay on the show to discuss the benefits of keeping a positive attitude. You probably never heard me sing the church songs on the radio, have you, Adonis?
We need more of that. We need more of
that. Well, I thought
pass the offering button. There you go.
so mama can get some, somebody, daddy, mama can get some new shoes for somebody.
Exactly.
Well, I just feel like, you know, at some point, people are in traffic and they need to have a little laughter in their life. So
exactly.
I was going to supply it for you so you'd smile. But let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems from tooth decay to oral cancer are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com. Jazzy 88 WFSK says all aboard for a jazzy Christmas on the Cumberland. It's time for the third annual all-inclusive festive evening of live concerts, dining, dancing, and cruising aboard the General Jackson Showboat on Sunday, December 16th. Boarding begins at 5 p.m., launching at 6, returning to the dock at 9. Get into the holiday season with a jazzy Christmas on the Cumberland with two levels of live music aboard the General Jackson, Sunday, December 16th. Tickets must be purchased in advance for singles, couples, and table reservations. For tickets and complete details, go to jazzonthecumberland.com or call 615-731-9001. A portion of the proceeds benefit Excellence in Motion Incorporated. Jazzy 88 WFSK is a co-sponsor of Jazzy Christmas on the Cumberland. Support for WFSK comes from Mount Zion Baptist Church. Don't miss the festive Christmas production at Mount Zion Baptist Church on Wednesday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at Mount Zion's Old Hickory Boulevard location. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit mtzion.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is all up in the and got it nice and toasty in here. I came prepared today. I wore two sweaters. You know, I'm not going to mess around like some of y'all out there still trying to wear T-shirts and flip-flops. I saw you. Just running from the store to the car. I saw you. And I'm like, man, you have to be out of your mind to be. you know, when you get older and your elbows and you can't move around from all that early stuff you did in your life, you're like, oh, I wish I'd have put something on. Now I got arthritis and rheumatiz. But that's what this weather will do to you. It'll mess you up if you don't, dress properly for it. And, you know, I know with the children going to the bus stops and all, make sure that those kids are bundled up. Because we're looking at low to 20s tonight and 40s for tomorrow. So bus stop time is going to be cold for the children. Now, we are getting our positive pump up on this first Wednesday of the month of December as we head to the end of this 2018 with our 411 show, Empowerment and Leadership Team member, Adonis Lindsay. Adonis, is this your second year with us?
I believe so. I think I've been with you guys about 2 years.
Well, congratulations.
A little bit longer than that,
Is it longer than that? You survived, baby. You survived.
I know.
Because I'm sure at first you're like, I don't know. but it has been a pure joy. And, you know, people have, they remember you, Adonis, that see me, because they said that positive dude you'd be talking to, that motivational speaker cat. I'm like, oh,
Adonis. Well, it's been an honor and so much fun being on there with you guys.
Absolutely. Now, I was talking about, you know, before the break, about retaining a positive attitude when you don't have the cash flow. That is one of the toughest times for people to have the joy that if scripture tells us we're still supposed to have joy. How am I going to be full of joy and I don't have no money and it doesn't look like I'm going to get any. So speak on that. Give us some words of encouragement.
Yeah, I think with that, Sharon Kay, you know, sometimes unfortunate things happen if people lose a job or unexpected huge expense hits. I mean, we never like it when that happens. So a couple of things we tell people. Number one, this is not the end all. You will get through this. And I think when things happen like that, you've got to speak to your mind quickly. Because all kind of negative thoughts will bombard your mind. You're thinking, man, this is it. My life is over. I'm done. But, you know, the quicker you can get your mind back together, get a hold of yourself, and then start to develop a plan of action as to what you're going to do. If you walk into work and, if, you know, they say, hey, we got to lay off people, it's like, okay. It's like, you know, what's your skill set? What kind of applications are you going to go fill out? What are you going to do to start getting the ball rolling so that you can regain employment? If it's a situation to where you just got hit with an unexpected bill or something breaks down and, you know, it's like, oh, where am I going to pull the money together for here? You know, we always tell people, number one, and I think a lot of that, you know, Sharon Kay, If we can think in advance when we do have cash flow coming in, mm-hmm. if we can prepare for those bad days, I think that's key. And not just spending like crazy, but if we can prepare for some bad days, I think that's key to getting you through
yeah.
a bad situation. But those that don't prepare for it, what you got to do is just tell yourself, okay, this is where I am. I don't like what happened,
yeah.
but I've got to pull myself together, pull my mind together, and I've got to begin to look at my skill set, begin to look at, okay, what can I do right now?
Right.
Even if it's a temporary thing, what
right.
can I do right now temporarily to bring in a cash flow to where I can eventually apply for a job that I do want?
Right.
You know, and then around Christmas time, Sharon Kay, you know, we still run into a lot of people that are like, you're stressed out.
Yes.
Thinking they've got to buy all these things, you know.
Yeah.
And we, you know, me and my wife, it's like, you know, we love to get our kids things, but we don't go overboard, you know. Before the holiday hits, we like, hey, you guys need to march up to your bedrooms right now.
Okay.
And see what, you know, let's get rid of some stuff.
Yeah.
Let's sell some toys into some other kids.
Amen.
Before y'all start talking about what you want.
Mm-hmm. That's how you do it right there.
Yeah.
Man.
And, you know, and we don't stress ourselves out trying to break the bank to buy them things that they
yeah.
don't need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's the thing, you know, what you're talking about is absolutely crucial because, you know, if your closet is already full and running
yeah.
over, take some of that stuff and give it to somebody else so you can receive some more stuff in, you know.
Exactly.
And I just, every time I do, as I make these statements on the air, I do it myself, y'all. See, I know what works. I know what works.
You know. I do.
So help me. I had to learn that one from my former pastor. And because I was just telling that to one of my family members, I'm like, girl, you better go on to Goodwill. And this, you had not, it was in junior high, maybe 20 years ago, you could have worn that. But, you know, you are never going to be junior high school skinny ever. So why are you holding on and hoarding these junior high school outfits? I mean, why?
Yeah.
So, you know, I passed that on to her. She had to laugh. She said, well, you know, I'm going to try what you said.
There you go.
I said, be a blessing. And that
yeah.
at the end of the day, isn't that what it's all about, Adonis?
That is. And we tell, you know, it's Christmas time. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, I think we've got to train our generation because, you know, the kids, you're like, oh, man, I'm getting. No,
yes.
no. This is the season to be giving.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can instill that into them at an early age,
yes.
you know, they don't grow up and repeat that cycle.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing, when you start looking around, like you mentioned, going into your closet, you know, once again, we send our kids to their toy closets, and it's like, you guys have a surplus here. Let's get rid of some of that stuff. But it's also, Sharon Kay, we want them to see, hey, you guys are blessed, you know?
Yes, truly.
And I think a lot of times in our mindset, Sharon Kay, we've got to look for that silver lining,
yeah.
you know, whatever that is, to allow us to have a positive thought to run through our mind. You know,
yeah.
if you lose a job, it's like, hey, you know what? I still have a roof over my head right now.
Truly,
you know?
Truly.
That's so you're still in good shape.
Yes.
You know? And you know, every time my kids, they'll say, well, I don't have anything to eat. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know? Well, you know how mommy used to do it, Sharon Kay, when you told that you didn't want to eat what was on your plate.
Well, it looked like you're going to starve tonight. That's what she wants. I hate your luck.
Exactly. Mama would remind you that there are starving children
yes.
in other countries
yes.
you know, that would love to have what you have on your plate
exactly.
right now.
Exactly, exactly.
And so, and I think if we can just, you know, start looking at what we do have
yes.
and not what we don't have.
Yes.
Because when we start looking at what we don't have, that's when the depression sets in.
That's when
the irritation sets in,
yeah.
and it takes our eyes off of how blessed we are. It takes our eyes off of what we do have,
yeah.
and, you know, we try to put people's mindset
yeah.
To give them an anchor
yes.
so that their mind doesn't tell them that life is over, you're
yeah.
done, you're out.
Yes.
No, look at what you do have,
yes.
you know?
Yes, and that concentrating on, you know, I guess that follows up to the Thanksgiving being grateful theme that the Thanksgiving should conjure up with people is keeping an attitude of gratitude, because that once you do that, I think that kind of opens up the door for blessings or for things, you know, positive to come to you, because you hadn't sit there and filled yourself up with so much negativity that you can't stand you stink. I mean, you can't even stand yourself, you know.
Exactly.
So when you are doing your counseling and you're helping, you know, young people or whatever age a person, because some grown people haven't figured that one out yet. you know, I'm serious. They have not. They still struggle. You know, with what you just described, the situation of, you know, the lesson that you taught your children.
Yeah.
You know, that was a very important lesson for them to learn and to grow up thinking about. Now, did they respond properly to that, Adonis?
You know, when we first started doing it, they didn't. Mm-hmm. But then we just we held our ground with it, and now they understand it.
Okay.
You know, they understand. You know, whoa! I got a lot of stuff here. Let me give that away.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help somebody else. And we're always telling them, you know, around their birthday, around whatever. Hey, guys, let's talk about this. This is not just all about you,
mm-hmm.
But look at some of the stuff you don't play with anymore. Some child would love that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we just begin to instill that into them at this young age. You know, the other day, Sharon Kay, I was up in my son's room, and right before bedtime, so I was laying down with him, and he was complaining about something.
Hmm.
I forget what it was, but I said, Grayson, do you realize? I said, Daddy didn't even have his own room.
Hmm.
So he was in high school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I made him think. I said, look at your room right here, son. You've got your very own room, very own bed.
Right.
And I said, you have no reason to be complaining mm-hmm. about what you don't have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? And so we just stay on our kids with that, because you know as well as I know, young people today, this generation, Cherokee.
Yes, Lord.
They can be so, you know, focused on themselves.
Yes, and material
and
things.
It's all about me, all about me.
Right.
And so we just try to keep our kids in an awareness. And I think even as adults, if we can just stay aware,
yes.
that we are, you know, we're blessed. You know, don't compare yourself with people on social media. I think that's where we get sidetracked as well.
Mm-hmm.
And because everybody puts their best foot forward
on
that.
Of course.
You know, and it's like, no, just if you can keep your eyes on what God's blessed you with,
amen.
Be thankful for it. You know, be thankful for it, you know, and say thank you. Say, you know, it's like every day we teach our kids to wake up and say, thank you, Jesus, that you woke up.
Praise the Lord. And you know what? Remember life before social media, y'all? When you didn't have to be up all night looking at everybody's pictures and reading all them craziness. You can go to bed. And you can rest your brain, so you can quit being so doggone mad all the time.
Exactly.
I mean, just turn it off, for goodness sake.
Because that's what happens, Sharon Kay, when people are, you know, on the verge of already being irritated and agitated.
God.
And then, you know, especially around this holiday season, maybe they're struggling. Maybe they're struggling financially, or whatever that is. And then all of a sudden they see somebody put a brand new car in their driveway.
Right, and then they become an instant hater.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going to happen to you? You know, what's that hump on our back? I can't even, I mean, it's just too much. And, you know, I mean, Adonis, let me say that, you know, I've been interviewing people for a long time before you were probably born, and but my point is that the discussions and the conversations and the stuff that people have cycled through over the years, nothing has changed them quite like social media has. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
It has just wrecked a lot of people in their inability to be happy, to be happy for others, to feel good about themselves. You know, it's like, you know, it's very adversarial. you know, you read somebody's stuff and you're like, well, didn't know you thought like that. You know, and I'm sitting up here around you, and I was like, okay, never mind.
Taking photos, right. Taking selfies with you.
Yeah, I ain't know you was like, Lord, the Confederate flag and all that. You scared me to death. I'm just saying, I can remember, and the issues that were dealt with during over the years, you know, we've had discussions with various people. I have for 10 years, and it just seems as though with the injection of that into our lives, it has made things a bit more complicated. Does that make sense?
Yes, I totally agree with that, Sharon Kay. And, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, people have somehow relied upon social media to bring them a bit of happiness. You know, some people think, well, if I post a picture, let me see how many likes I get.
Yes.
You know, and that's feeding them, and that's giving, and then if they post a picture, they get, you know, less likes than what they thought. Then they spiral down into a depression.
Yeah, you do. Now, y'all know you do out there. That. You know you do.
Exactly. And so we got to get beyond that, Sharon Kay. We've got to get beyond trolling through people's timelines and seeing what's going on in their life. Or, you know, some people use social media as a tool to hide behind a computer screen or a phone and spit out all kind of big, crazy, you know, things that they want to get off their chest. And it's like, you know, we've got to make a decision to either pull away from that. I tell people, if you're diving into social media and you walk away and you're angry, that's an indicator.
Yes, it is.
That's like you have control over that.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
And you need to monitor that.
Yeah.
And because that's driving your attitude.
And it certainly is driving people's attitude, and that's for real. And you know, I'm not on it as much, hardly at all, really anymore, not like I used to be at first, because I just don't like, you know, some of the stuff is just pure wasting of my time. I mean, life is short. I ain't got time to give y'all none of my moments for no foolishness.
Exactly.
I'm too busy trying to, you know, get my blessings. I ain't got time.
I'm trying to enjoy the moment. Yes. I ain't got to share it with you.
Yes, especially on no dumb stuff, you know.
Exactly.
So I just felt like I'm wasting time with this. I need to have, you know, I need to fill my head with things that are going to help me sustain my life and, you know, bring blessings to my family and that kind of thing. That's you know, a personal decision I made. And I feel so much better about it.
You just said it. You made that decision, and you feel much better about it. And so people need to start making some wise, healthy decisions.
Absolutely.
For their mind, for their mindset, for their attitude. And when you make those decisions, see how you feel. If you feel good about it, then that's a decision you need to keep on making.
Right. Right.
And, you know, if you make a decision and say, okay, that was the wrong decision, you'll know.
Yeah.
You'll know, Sharon Kay. Yeah. And so I just, you know, whatever, if it's not making you better, then it's probably making you bitter.
Right.
So you've got to choose between which one you want to be. And,
sure.
And hopefully people want to be better.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. And hopefully they do. And we're going to give you our closing minute, 45 seconds, to this is our last chat with you for 2018. We'll have you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be reigniting the fire in 2019. So, and you know, because you and Pastor Rudy and Pastor Juanita, you know, y'all my crutches. You
all
know,
right.
I love all of y'all, and I told them y'all can't just about this. So just quit trying. But if you just seal us up in a beautiful tight word. From the Lord, we would appreciate you, Adonis.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you, Sharon Kay. It's been so much fun being with you guys. I'll close out in prayer. Just a word for people. Father, we thank you for just what you're doing in the lives of your people. We thank you, Lord God, even over this Christmas season, Lord God. We speak your blessings and your peace.
Mm-hmm.
Your peace over your people, Lord God. We thank you for families, Lord God, being at peace, not stressed out, Lord God, but they can enjoy each other's company as they enjoy your presence, Father. We thank you for this, Lord God. We thank you for keeping people in their right mind, Amen. Keeping people, Lord God, focused on the true meaning of what Christmas is all about, Lord God, that you loved us so much,
yes.
Father, that you gave.
Mm-hmm.
That you gave your only son. And Father, I thank you that we're able to replicate that, that we love you so much that this season we will be givers, Lord God. That we will give joy to others, Lord God. We will give kind words to others, Lord God. We will help usher in peace into the homes of others. We thank you for this, Lord God. We give you the praise. And Father, right now I speak a blessing over Sharon Kay and X-Man there, Lord God. We just thank you for what they're doing, this radio station, Lord God. How is this? They're being a blessing to this entire city. We declare, Lord God, that as they close out 2018, Lord God, they enter into a brand new season of 2019 like never before. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you continue to use them to help the lives of your people, Father. We give you the praise, the glory, the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I'm
Amen.
About to shout y'all. Watch out
yeah.
now.
Amen.
Adonis, thank you, honey. We got our people home safely this afternoon. We got the Christmas prayer early. And, of course, you know, it's always good to hear your voice and, of course, to hear your great words of encouragement. Give everybody my love.
And, I sure will.
Give your website and all that stuff so people can see what you got in there.
Yes. If you want to get in contact with me, you can do so on my website. That's AdonisLindsay.com, AdonisLindsay, LENZY.com. You can also find me on my social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at AdonisLindsay.
Adonis, thank you so much. God bless and keep you. And we'll talk to you in 19, okay?
All righty. Merry Christmas, guys. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
But that was Adonis Lindsay, and we appreciate his positive words of encouragement because everybody could use some. I'm not trying. My job is not to beat y'all down. I'll let other people do that. That's not what I do. This is an empowerment encouragement broadcast, and it has been one since inception, and inception was 2001, December the 8th. Was the first broadcast. So, God, I thank you for the opportunity to continue doing what I do. And you all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon K.